our individual place of longing, journey, connection, community. Our individual faith, sorry. And yet it's so connected to everything that is our denomination and beyond, because our denomination takes on the wisdom of the world and says it is not the singular text that gives us truth and value and meaning, but a global, universal understanding of things, more profound, more deep, more exacting than any singular religious ideology could ever grapple with. We are the people that choose to be open to the sources of living. Some of our friends on the other side of the street say they have the living word, but I believe we're the people with the living word, because it's not sealed in anything that was that time and that era, but a universal, life everlasting ability to see and participate with ongoing revelation. Revelation of mind, body, and spirit in the here and now and what was. So the faith story today that I came with was, of course, the flower communion. We're here doing it, right? And many of you know this story, don't you? So bear with me while I give those who don't know, because are there a few of you here who don't know Dr. Chapek's story? A couple? One, two? Martial, you know his story? Okay, so I know Kai doesn't know it, so let me give you a few things about him. Of course, the flower communion was created by Dr. Norbert Fabian Chapek, who founded the Unitarian Church in Czechoslovakia. Kai, do you know where Czechoslovakia is? We must show you the map. He introduced a special service to that church on June 4th, 1923. Ah, my mother's born in 1923, so I know that's 92 years ago. Long ago. For some time, he felt the need for some symbolic ritual that would bring people together. The format that he chose would not be one that could alienate anyone, he thought, for any reason, because he didn't want to take something that some other religious tradition had done. He wanted something kind of clean, pure, and universal. The traditional Christian communion service with the bread and wine was completely unacceptable to his congregation because of their strong reaction against the older church. They said that the church had watched their suffering and they no longer wanted to be connected to religious institutions that stood silent as people were mistreated, abused, murdered, etc. So Dr. Chapek turned to the native beauty of his countryside for the elements of a communion that would be real for them. The simple service, this flower communion, was the result of that. It was such a success that it was repeated year after year. You know Dr. Chapek was arrested by the Nazis. Well, maybe you didn't know. He was sent to Dachau prison. In October 1942, he was charged with listening to the radio. Can you imagine listening to the radio could be a sin? I do it every day. But he was listening to radio that was foreign, and it was a treasonous act. He was arrested, he and his daughter. The following words are from the Sun magazine. "I don't know what's harder to fathom, the atrocities committed by the Nazis or a prayer found written on a piece of wrapping near the Ravensbrück, the largest concentration camp for women in Nazi Germany. The prayer asks for God to remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but all those of ill will too. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted on us. Remember the fruits born of this suffering, the loyalty, the humility, the courage, the generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne by their lives be forgiveness to each other. I've told you a little bit about Dr. Chopek and about the flower service. I'd like to give you just a little bit more. Like most Unitarians, Dr. Chopek's spiritual journey took him through various religious traditions. He began life as a Roman Catholic, like almost everyone in his homeland. After that, he became disillusioned with all Catholicism had to offer him. He tried being a Baptist. I can't imagine Baptists in Czechoslovakia. Can you see them singing to those Czech songs? I don't know about that one. I'd have to see it. But nevertheless, he was a Baptist for a time. He thus began his career as a minister in missionary and as a publicist and a composer of hymns. By the time World War I ignited, his religious views had become completely liberal. He could no longer stay under the domination of even the Christian church as he understood it. He decided to come to the United States to continue his liberal training and thinking and writing. Dr. Chopek met his beloved wife, I want to say it right, Maja?
Myra.
That's how you spell Myra? I never knew that. M-A-J-A? All right, good to learn something. Thank you. He met her in a New York City public library, and they were married shortly after. They were introduced to Unitarianism right here by their children. Chopek had two older children from a previous marriage. Isn't that amazing? Out of the mouths of our children, how much can we learn? It was like a godsend to Chopek to find the Unitarian faith. It was reported that they not only found their faith here in this congregation, but it warmed their hearts for the rest of their lives, one of them being short and the children and, say the name again, Greg?
Maya.
Maya, for a long time. Upon their return to independent Czechoslovakia, Dr. Chopek established the Prague Congregation of Religious Freedom. 9 years later, this congregation would get a new name, the Unitarian Church of Czechoslovakia, and it was officially recognized by the government there in Czechoslovakia. From the pulpit, Dr. Chopek encouraged his fellow citizens to have courage in the face of the growing Nazi insanity. We are today, he said, the only nation in the whole of Europe that is ready to resist oppression. I'm not a historian. I'm not an expert on World War II. But what I do know, the Czech people suffered terribly. I know they stood strong. You know, the worst thing about this is Dr. Chopek and his daughter were arrested in March of 1941, his daughter Zora. They were charged and convicted of listening to the radio. Listening to the radio. Somebody could get me because I listen to what they call dead white man radio every day, NPR. That's what I've heard it called by a bunch of people. That's old dead white man radio. It's the best thing happening for me. Did you hear the TED radio show this morning? Google it. They had an amazing story today on NPR. TED Radio Hour, find it. I'm going to Google it and send you the link. It was amazing. I want you all to listen. Radio. How could radio be a sin or convictable crime? Nevertheless, off to prison they went. Chopek was sentenced to a year in prison. And the 11 months that he had already been confined would have been counted in the sentence. Didn't happen. Unfortunately, at the time, the German officials that had overseen his case died. And Dr. Chopek became a victim of German retaliation for his murder. Chopek spent a year in the Dresden prison before being sent to Dachau, where he met his death. He wrote many things while in Dresden. The flower communion was brought to us here in the United States in 1940 by Dr. Chopek's wife. Say her name again, Greg.
Maya.
Maya. All right. Maya Chapin. It was first introduced to the Cambridge, Massachusetts congregation. How long have we been doing it here? Anybody know? As long as any of you can remember?
Yeah.
All right. Good tradition. Hold on to this tradition. In 1961, the year of my birth, seems so such a short time ago, a letter was sent to the American Unitarian Association by Maya Chapin. And she explained Norbert Chapek's flower communion this way. My beloved husband's only motivation was to stress and bring about brotherhood. As a symbol, he used flowers because in the name of flowers, no wars were ever waged, and as was the case with the cross of the chalice. The flowers are used as symbols of the gifts of each person that you can make to the church and to the world. Because of the large variety of people, we need a wide variety of flowers to show the individuality. The exchange of flowers means that I shall walk without reservation with anyone and with everyone, regardless of their social status, former religious affiliation, or no religion at all. I am willing to go along in the search for truth and service to humanity. These words rang so clear in my mind because as we continue the ongoing, I'm going to call it a struggle, but really it's maybe a journey, of creating our individual faith narrative, right? Have you ever done building your own faith? It's an adult RE course. Anybody? It's about finding your own particular faith story, which Unitarian Universalism gives us an absolute right to. See, for me, I took pieces of West African ancestor worship, and I went over to Egypt, and I took Akhenaten's idea of the sun god. I don't believe the sun is God, but I believe in the oneness of some universal force. And I went to my Celtic roots and I extrapolated something from that Scotch-Irish Welsh background that's my 40% of my DNA. And I took from my father's AME tradition and my mother's Episcopalian tradition and from my grandfather's Catholicism and from my cousin, the second black Unitarian minister's faith, Egbert Ethelred Brown, second black Unitarian minister. I took from all of them, and most of all, I took from nature, because nature reminds me to be humble, because I am very small compared to the grandeur of nature. So build your own theology, and build your own faith. And find sheroes and heroes along the way who give your vision more clarity. Our faith tradition allows us to take from everything, to use it in positive ways that will affirm your own inherent worth and dignity and keep you connected to the human family. Humans are brilliant. Unfortunately, we can be monsters too. Follow your own path and come and share your faith story with others. I selected a few heroes today. Dr. Chapek is one of my heroes now. I didn't know enough about him, but I'm going to make sure the rest of my ministry is filled with things he teaches or taught. I selected Thoreau because Thoreau was the first person that led me to nature, not in my childlike, simplistic way, but as a teenager, I dared to go live upstate New York for a summer with no electricity on my parents' farm. I lived in the woods. I built a lean-to along the creek and fished and went to sleep by night and woke by day. Thoreau and I had a unique experience that one summer. My mother said I smelled strong. I also selected the Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh, for I went to a retreat center expecting to see him. I had paid so much money to meet the great Zen master who knew Dr. King, and just such a powerful man. But his niece took his place. He had to travel back to Plum Village in France. What I learned about him and his teaching is that through mindfulness, we can learn to live happily in the present moment. I try to retain that because my mind captures all the negativity, and I have to have something that draws me back to the here and now and remind me my heart's beating. I know who I am. I have my sanity mostly, Cindy. Flights of fancy sometimes, or stupidity. But mostly, I know my name. I know who I am. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to know you. Thich Nhat Hanh, in his writings, Living Buddha, Living Christ, gives us a manifesto that if you're willing to read that little book, can help you take Jesus on the one hand and the Buddha on the other and merge them into a human narrative that can assist you on your own journey. I found it incredibly helpful. Lastly, I selected Bell Hooks. Any of you know Bell Hooks? She's someone you should be. She's a professor and a brilliant one. She's a student of Paulo Freire. Am I saying his name right? Paulo Freire, the Brazilian educator that said school and learning isn't about a teacher standing in the front of a classroom spewing information at people, but that learning is about engagement of each other's spirits and minds, and it flows from student to teacher and from teacher to student. Bell Hooks taught at City College, and I took a course from her 30-odd years ago. She had a course called Teaching to Transgress, and in that teaching, I learned a different modality for education, one in which I am an active student always. I take in the totality of human beings. I might get it wrong sometimes, folks, but I really am engaged in trying to study your faces, your body language, your sighs, your hiccups, your affirmations, your pleas and cries. It's something that told me that I could actually see others, and I could be seen too. Not just this outward appearance of me, but the real me. Maybe I could glimpse the real you. Bell Hooks, she's written many books. Check her out. These are three heroes I lift up: Chapek, Thich Nhat Hanh, Bell Hooks. There are countless others, Thoreau. Who are your heroes? Who are the pillars that support your faith, your individual faith? Because if you put 100 Unitarian Universalists in a room and queried each of them, there would be a vast array of faith narratives that would come out of the conversation, right? None of us are the same, what we hold fast to. And yet, our principles and purposes give us a guide. So thank you, Dr. Chapek. And thank you, Greg, what's your name?
Maya.
Thank you, Maya. Greg didn't know he was going to be part of a call and response today. And so, in closing, wherever you are in your own faith story, keep on struggling with it. Grapple with your ideas. To live is to find something worth dying for. Is it your spouse? Is it your children? Is it the ideals that have been emblazoned on your mind by teachers or preachers or rabbis or sages of the ages? It matters not what you hold in your heart is important. What matters is, does it give you this? L-I-F-E. Life. Living in faith every day. Take it, folks. Take Chapek's faith. Take your own and run with it. May the Spirit of life bless you. May the words and deeds of our forebearers and those in the present who give life shape and meaning sustain you. And may health and vitality be yours all the days of your life. Blessed be and amen. All right. So our closing hymn. Oh, we got another reading. That's right. You gave us another reading. Oh, we got another hymn.